gathered around about 9 o'clock in the evening, and they all came there into the den with their Bibles, and the father stood there, and he gave the devotion to the family. Then he turned to his youngest, and he said, "Would you pray for our family tonight?" And little Johnny, who was about 5 years old, he began to pray. He said, "Harold, would you give us a good night tonight? And Harold, would you please help us to sleep tonight? And Harold, I want to thank you for Mom and Dad tonight. And Harold, would you help us to wake up in the morning feeling good?" And finally, the dad stopped and said, "What are you doing?" He says, "I'm praying." He said, "Who is Harold?" He says, "It's God." He said, "What makes you think his name is Harold?" He says, "The Bible says, our Father which art in heaven, Harold be thy name." And there are some who are confused about the names of the Lord. In Matthew, we have some understanding. When we think about the names of the Lord, we think, my mind goes back to Isaiah 9, verse 6. And when we have names, we also have titles of the Lord. But in Isaiah 9, verse 6, the Bible says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." He certainly is wonderful, isn't he? He is our counselor. That's who we go to get our direction. He is the Mighty God. There's nothing too great for him. He's the Everlasting Father. We will spend everlasting life with him. And he's the Prince of Peace. He's coming soon. And when he comes and it's all said and done, peace will be had. Those are wonderful names, but listen, there's never a name like Jesus to me. And in this passage of Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, the Bible says, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus." And we're reminded in Luke 2, verse 11, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And there's an old song. I will spare you from me trying to sing it. But it's titled, "The Lovely Name," or "What a Lovely Name." There's a name above all others, wonderful to hear, bringing hope and cheer. It's the lovely name of Jesus, evermore the same. What a lovely name. I love it. I remember hearing a story many, many years ago about a missionary who had gone to the field of Africa. And there, while he was there, he lost his children to disease. And they ministered there, showing very little fruit, very little happening taking place there. And then he lost his wife to disease and still stayed for several more years. And there outside of his little housing area was graves of his two children and of his wife. And then he himself succumbed to a great disease and his health was wrecked. And he had to return back to England. And as he was getting his luggage together and headed to the dock to get on the ship, he had hired a couple of men to help him carry his luggage. And as they were going to the port, one turned and said, "What is the name of that one that you mentioned and that you've spoken about while you were here?" And the missionary looked at him and says, "His name is Jesus, and it's the sweetest name I know." And as they would travel a bit farther, another African who was helping with the luggage turned and said, "What is that name? That name that you have spoken so much about. What is that name again?" And the missionary looked at him. He said, "His name is Jesus. And it's the sweetest name I know." He finally got boarded on the ship. And as they began to launch out, there they were there on the land, those few, and they were waving at him. And one of those workers again said, "One more time, please, please, sir, his name." And the missionary, with all the strength and he could muster, put his hands together and said, "His name is Jesus, and it's the sweetest name I know." And this morning, I have some precious names in my life. It's Debbie, and it's Joy, and it's Rachel, and it's Josh, and it's John, and it's 13 grandkids I'm not going to mention. But Jesus trumps them all. You see, the name of Jesus truly is a lovely name. And it certainly is a name worth knowing because it belongs to a Savior worth serving and loving. You see, He's the one who bears the name for this season. Jesus is the reason for the season. His name means much more to those who believe. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 7, the Bible says, "But unto them which believe, He is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builder disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner." His name speaks much more than just the babe in the lowly manger. And I want you to consider the significance of His name for just a few minutes this morning. First of all, let me say that His name is Jesus, and it represents His preeminence. The Bible says in Matthew 1, verse 21, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins." Jesus means Jehovah is salvation. That's the meaning. When we say Jesus, we're saying He is the Jehovah of salvation. What a name, the name of Jesus. Jesus is the Greek form of the Hebrew name Joshua. And at His birth, Jesus became a special name, a name of preeminence. There was a name chosen by God. God chose the name Jesus. It speaks of who He is. It's declared His deity as the Son of God. Jesus is a name known in heaven. Jesus is a name recognized by the angels. Jesus is a name that brings the fear of God into the hearts of Satan and his demons. They can't stand and bear His name. And never has a name endured all the ages through all the time as the name Jesus. Jesus is a name that brings comfort to those in despair. Jesus is a name that brings salvation to the lonely sinner. Jesus is a name that brings hope to those who are hopeless. And Jesus is the name that is both loved and hated and cursed and honored and received and rejected. His name is a name above every other name. Acts 4 verse 12 says, "Neither is there salvation in any other." While since I've said it, I know some of you like this when I do it. But have you ever thought about how His name is cursed? Have you thought about it? I won't, certainly would not utter it. But when someone loses their temper or they want to really show themselves, they'll say, "God," and they'll use profanity with it. And then there are those, and I have heard it, and when I hear it, it makes the skin on my back, the hair on my back of my neck stand. Well, they'll take His name, and they'll take the lovely name Jesus, but they'll say it with such an emphasis that it's profanity. "Jesus," they'll say. You think about that. It makes me weary. It makes me ill. And we see here that His name is above every other name. Philippians 2, verse 9 through 11 says, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him, and giving Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow." Let me tell you something, friend. Every knee will bow one day. "Of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess." Let me tell you something, friend. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. There's no other name like Jesus, and I hope it's more than just a name to you this morning. We see that Jesus, it's a name that represents His preeminence, but there's also the name given to us in Matthew 1, verse 23, that is Emmanuel. And Emmanuel, it represents His person. In verse 23 of Matthew 1, the Bible says, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call His name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. What a wonderful name. I think of Jesus, and I think of his preeminence. He is the Savior of the world. And I think of Emmanuel, and the Savior of the world, Jesus, who is Emmanuel, he is with me. I sense his presence. There's been some times, some hard places I've been. There's been some times when I'm fixing to be ushered into surgery, but he was there with me. There's no fear. There's no trembling. I know he's there. I know he has me in his hand. I know he has everything under control. Regardless of what might take place, he's in control. Emmanuel is his name that is seldom spoken. Emmanuel holds a special significance for all of mankind, but especially for the child of God. Emmanuel is God with us. Emmanuel reminds us of the humanity of Christ. He was no ordinary birth, and not just another child. He came as God in the flesh. He came as the perfect God-man, the Son of Man, the Son of God. He was born of a virgin, conceived of the Holy Spirit. And of that first and fateful Christmas, that very first one, God came in the form of man to dwell among us, his fallen creation. In John chapter 1, verse 14, the Bible says, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. It's amazing that Jesus would come at all. It's amazing that God would send him to such a sin-cursed, pitiful, pathetic, wicked, horrible, heinous place. He left the splendors of heaven. He laid aside his glory. He laid aside his power. The doctrine of kenosis determines to how much Jesus laid aside. He was robed in the flesh that we have. He grew weary. He grew hungry. He grew thirsty. He knows our sorrows. He experienced all of our infirmities. All for you and all for me. Philippians 2:7 says, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. Without our Emmanuel, there'd be no salvation. Had he not come, we'd still be hopelessly, helplessly lost. Had he not come, we'd still be making the religious, humanistic fig trees trying to cover our sin. And even the high priest would go in and would have their sins covered. But when he came, he's the great high priest who cleansed our sins. Yes. Our sins are washed away. Yes. And you may be here this morning. You may think that you're pretty good. You might think that you're better than others, and you may be. But the Bible tells us that we are evil. Yeah. The heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? And we see here that he made himself of no reputation, and he took upon himself that of a servant. Aren't we glad this morning? Aren't we thankful that he humbled himself? And he came as a humble little babe. No room for him in the inn. No room for him today in this world. But yet he came wrapped in swaddling clothes. And I want you to know, my friend, this morning, he's not in the manger. This morning, he's not on the cross. But this morning, he is on his throne. Amen. And he's coming soon. We see that he's Jesus, and it represents his preeminence. His name is Emmanuel, and it represents his person. But thirdly, notice in Luke 2, verse 11, his name is Savior, and it represents his purpose. In Luke 2, verse 11, the Bible says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. The angel had brought good tidings of great joy. The Savior of the world had been born in Bethlehem. Jesus came to deliver us from our sin. Can I tell you something? There's not a sin that wasn't nailed to the cross. Oh, listen to me. I've been in prison with folks. I've gone there to preach, and I've sat there and I've listened to the woes and the sorrows of men. And I've seen what sin, I've seen the final result of sin. Hey, when lust is conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And when sin is finished, it bringeth forth death. I've seen the lives of men that have wrecked. I've seen people who have played it loose and free, and they use sin for recreation and for entertainment. And in their later life, sin uses them up, and they have no joy and no peace. The angel had brought good tidings. The Savior of the world had been born in Bethlehem. Jesus came to deliver us. He could have come as a righteous judge and could have condemned us all. He could have came as a righteous judge and said, guilty. And we certainly would be. However, his name is Savior. What does Savior mean? It means he's full of love. He's full of mercy. He's full of grace. He's full of compassion. Oh, what a Savior. His name is Jesus. You see, he did not come for the wealthy or for men of high degree. He came for that lowly sinner. He came for me. He came to set the captives free. He came to find the lost and the undone in sins and transgressions and iniquity. Jesus came to set us free. Luke 19 verse 10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." There are people who will say, "I found God. I found religion." You didn't find nothing. You didn't find nothing because you wasn't looking for anything. God found us. He came seeking the lost. You understand that? He found me. And I want you to know, we may feel privileged. And let me say, I do feel privileged being an American and having the gospel here and having Bibles and having the gospel on the internet and the gospel on the television and the gospel on the radio and having solid, good Bible preaching pastors and churches throughout our cities. But I want you to know, he came for that person in the middle, darkest jungle of New Guinea. He came for that person in the dark continent of Africa. I want you to know, from the lowest to what we might consider the highest, Jesus Christ came to save sinners. And he accomplished it. In Romans 5, 8, the Bible says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly." He accomplished what we could not. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. How short? 10 commandments short. We may look at those 10 commandments in Exodus chapter 20 and say, "Well, now wait a minute, Pastor, that's Old Testament. God's moral law never changes." And you say, "Well, I've never committed adultery. I never committed murder." Jesus, he didn't abolish the law. He strengthened it and said that if we're an offender at one point of the law, we're an offender of all 10. Bearing false witness. Hello. You see, we needed a Savior, and he came. He's the Savior. His name represents his purpose. He alone was worthy. He alone could purchase our forgiveness. We find in 1 John 4, verse 14, he says, "And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world." Oh, what a Savior. Oh, hallelujah. His heart was broken on Calvary. His hands were nail scarred. His side was riven. He gave his lifeblood for you and me. His name is Jesus. It represents his preeminence. His name is Emmanuel. It represents his person, God with us. His name is Savior. It represents his purpose. He came to save the lost, the lowly. And then let me finish. His name is Christ, and it represents his priesthood. In Luke chapter 2, verse 11, the Bible says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Christ is the Messiah. He's the anointed one. Christ means the same in Hebrew as Messiah. He is the one they had longed for, they had looked for. Can you go back to me with me just a little ways? Can we go back before Moses led the Exodus? And can you see the Jews, if they have multiplied and they have become a threat to Pharaoh and into his kingdom? Can you see how they were being mistreated? Can you feel the smarts of the taskmaster's whip? And then Moses came and said, I have a message from God. He says, let my people go. And Pharaoh stood up and said, who is this God? Well, he was fixing to find out, wasn't he? And we see that they took away the straw to make the bricks and the limits, hired more work. They were abusive. This is just exactly what the Bible speaks about. Egypt is a type of the world. Pharaoh's a type of the devil. Moses is a type of Christ. And we needed to be exited from this world. We see here that he is the one that they had longed for. Can you imagine that father, his back bleeding from a hard day's work, from being beaten? Can you imagine them going into his little house and a little place of dwelling, and there are his Jew children, and there's not enough food to go around, and mom fix what she can, and mom and dad excuse themselves, and they go maybe to the back corner of the house somewhere, or outside and around the corner, and they said, oh, Messiah, when will you come? When will you come? They look forward to him coming. The one the prophets had preached about, the one who's known as the anointed one to come. And in the name of Christ, who represents the priesthood, we see him as the holy high priest, the great high priest. And Jesus came to provide redemption. Through the Lord Jesus Christ, we have much more than just forgiveness. He ascended back to the Heavenly Father, and there, placing his redeeming blood on the mercy seat forever, removing the veil of separation between God and man. And Christ provided a means by which we can approach the Father. Before Christ, he was a sovereign God. He still is. Before Christ, he was God Almighty. He still is. But after the cross and after the Lord Jesus Christ, he's become Abba Father. We have that intimate, personal relationship. Every born-again child of God has direct access to the throne of grace. And Christ is our mediator. He is the intercessor for us. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. We can come before the Father without fear. We can boldly come before his throne of grace. Because of Jesus Christ, we stand cleansed in his blood. He's the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. And God no longer sees us as condemned sinners, but he sees us as cleansed saints. His name, Jesus, it represents his preeminence. He's the Savior. His name, Emmanuel, it represents his person. He is God with us. His name is Savior. It represents his purpose. He came to pay for our sins. His name is Christ. It represents his priesthood. He's the great high priest who doesn't cover our sins, but cleanses our sins on the mercy seat. And then lastly, let me say, his name is Lord, and it represents his power. In Luke 2, verse 11, the Bible says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. This particular name speaks of his supreme authority. Everything is under the Lord. The Lord, he is our master. We serve the King of Kings. We serve the Lord of Lords. There has never been a time when Jesus wasn't Lord. The title and his attributes were never foreign to Christ. He didn't become Lord. He is Lord. He stood as Lord in the glory of the Father. He was Lord on the earth, possessing complete authority. The winds and the waves obeyed his will. He was a Lord over the winds and waves, over demons, over all manner of sickness, over all manners of death. He is even Lord over hell and the grave. Never think the cross was the end. Even in his death, Jesus was Lord. He laid down his life and took it up again the third day. He's seated right now at the right hand of God Almighty, God the Father. He's Lord of all. Colossians 1:17 says, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Now let me tell you something. Rick Savage may be a name that never gets recognized. And if it doesn't, if you miss it, you haven't missed much, let me tell you. But the name of Jesus, that's a much different story. His name means all to us. I like saying it. You know there's power in his name? You know, you can have two men off. You can have two men telling dirty jokes. You can have some men using some profanity. And you can just mention his name. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing. Jesus, and you know what? They shut up. They hush. There's power even in his name. Now, may I ask you, have you met this wonderful Jesus? Have you met him, the Son of God, Jesus? Have you met him, Emmanuel, God with us? Have you met him, Savior? Have you met him, Lord? Is he Lord of your life? You see, we can come together, and I'm afraid the world does, and we all get together and we exchange gifts and we have a feast of food and family and friends, and we miss the most important one. His name is Jesus. I concur with the missionary who buried two children and his wife and who was wrecked, his own body wrecked was so, when he put his hands together and one last time told the African helpers, his name is Jesus, and it's the sweetest name I know. It's the sweetest name in every language, yes, in every people. And he, my friend, is your need today. If you're here today without the Lord Jesus Christ, you have no hope of heaven. Jesus is who you need to run to. If you're watching live stream this morning, and perhaps you're watching now, perhaps you're watching later, and you're in some remote place of the earth, maybe in India, Bangladesh, Myanmar, Burma, the Philippines, Jesus is the one you need to come to. Why? Because the Bible says, but God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Would you stand with me? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. The lovely names of Jesus. He is. He is wonderful. He is Counselor. He is the Mighty God. He is the Everlasting Father. He is the Prince of Peace. He has many titles. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the Rose of Sharon. He's the Lily of the Valley. He's the Root of Jesse, the Root of David. But this morning, he's Jesus, our Savior, Emmanuel, who is with us. He's Jesus Christ, his priesthood. He is Lord. If you're here this morning, you say, Pastor, I know, I don't have to even think about it. I've had a spiritual awakening. There's been a time that I acknowledged my sin and I cried out to God and God forgave me through the blood of Jesus Christ and saved my soul. And if I died this morning, I know I'd go straight to be with the Lord. Would you raise your hand as a testimony? I know that. I know heaven is my home. There's no doubt. If you're here this morning, you raised your hand. It's good that he's your Savior, but is he the Lord of your life? It's great he's on your priority list, but is he at the top of it? Oh, listen to me. We can never do too much for him. Lord, work in our hearts today. I pray that you bless the invitation and that we'd come this morning receiving Jesus as Savior or praising him for all he's done in our life. God has spoken to your heart this morning. The altar's open. You come right now.